It is time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so hearing that bell, get your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. In just a moment, I'm going to read again Exodus chapter 19, 1 through 6. This is where the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai. And it's going to tell us in there that God is expecting Israel to do what he tells them to do and to obey him, to keep his statutes and his law and to keep his covenant because he has been so good to them. And we read such in the New Testament as well, how that we're to obey God as well, and a motivation to do so is because he has been so good to us. Well, we'll see that in just a moment. While you're turning to Exodus chapter 19, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, where we read, "In the third month after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and when they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how that I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be my own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Notice, God said, "You saw what I did to the Egyptians, and I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself." You know, we read in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and Paul's admonition to those Christians in Rome to be followers of God and to obey his will and to be everything God wanted them to be. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." You think about how merciful God has been to us. Should not the very fact that God has been so kind and merciful and gracious and good to us and blessed us in so many ways make us want to be his servants forever and to please him by our willing service to him? Here's what Paul wrote, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You prove it by demonstrating it, by doing it, and seeing it for yourself. And then you'll want to serve God faithfully all the days of your life. Now, in the book of Exodus, we're going to return here to Elam's notes on this. Elam, this is from a Sunday school lesson that he wrote for October the 14th, 1923. And referring to this passage that we just read in the book of Exodus, we read that God was about to reveal his law to the children of Israel. And if they would obey his voice, which they would soon hear, and keep his covenant,
then he would make them a people of his own above all other peoples, that they should be unto him a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. He could do this, for all the earth was his. They must hear and obey him. They must keep his covenant. This covenant, our agreement, was sealed by the blood of sacrifices offered in due time. In this they must continue. Let me read to you about those sacrifices as we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 18 through 22. Here the writer writes, "Wherefore even the first covenant hath not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses unto all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded to youward. Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with the blood. And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with the blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Upon this condition, God would make them three things. Number one, a people for his own possession. Number two, a kingdom of priests. And number three, a holy nation. Many things could be said here. While the earth is Jehovah's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein, Psalm 24, 1 and 2, by all creation, yet the Israelites were his by redemption. Peculiarly his, of the peculiar blessings of the law. Paul, in Romans 9:14, says, "Who are the Israelites? Whose is the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Whose are the fathers? And of whom is Christ as concerning the flesh? Who is over all, God blessed forevermore? Amen." As a kingdom of priests, they should all be worshipers of God and should bring their own sacrifices to him. And God would be their king. They should submit to his government and offer their sacrifices to him. They should be a nation set apart to God's service for his possession. A holy nation. They should be united, separate from all other nations, pure in thought and in holy life. Now, while that was true of Israel of old as they stood before Mount Sinai, this is even more so and especially true of God's Israel now, of the church now, which is spiritual Israel. We, God's church, has been redeemed from sin and has been bought with a price. We read in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works." God's church is the elect race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, and the people of God's own possession. Let me read this to you in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter writes, "But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 we read that he made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, the angels sang with the saints, "Worthy art thou to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and did purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priest, and they reign upon the earth." God sent Moses down from the mountain to speak to the children of Israel these things. Moses called the elders together and placed before them all that God had said. The people replied, "All that Jehovah hath spoken we will do." The people accepted God as their king, preserver, and bountiful benefactor. Their failure to keep their part of this covenant brought their destruction. Moses returned to Jehovah and reported to him that the people had agreed to obey him. Jehovah then said, "I will come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and may also believe thee forever." It is for this purpose that God thus appeared, to behold the glorious and awe-inspiring scenes on Sinai, and to hear the voice of God out of the thick darkness were the most convincing testimony that God had chosen Moses to be the prophet and mediator of the people. The chief significance of the transfiguration of Jesus on the glory cloud mount is God's confession of his Son and of his command, Matthew 17:5, "Hear ye him." Let it be said here that the people heard the voice of Jehovah when he spake. Which voice they heard, entreated that no word more should be spoken unto him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 19. God spoke the Ten Commandments out of the cloud and the thick darkness, out of the midst of the fire unto the people. They heard his voice, but did not see his form. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 9 through 13, we read, "Only take heed to thyself and thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but make them known to thy children and to thy children's children, the day that thou stoodest before Jehovah thy God in Horeb, when Jehovah said unto me, Assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the heart of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And Jehovah spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of words, but ye saw no form. Only you heard a voice, and he declared unto you his covenant which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone. It was then they said to Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear thee, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be upon you, that ye sin not. Exodus 20:19-20. This request was made after God had spoken the commandments. Moses was to signify the people and have them ready against the third day. Bounds were set on the mountain that nothing should touch it. The man or beast that should touch it should be destroyed. Directions for sanctifying the people were given. Moses then went down from the mountain to the people to sanctify them and to set bounds about the mountain and prepare them for the awful appearance of God on the third day.